This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. Hour four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. It's a Mavs game night. It's a Lakers game night. Luka set to make his Lakers debut. We'll have more on that coming up here in about 20 minutes. Right now, it's time for an edition of Football's Finest, and here's your host, Eric Chiafalo.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. 877-881-1053. Who do you believe to be the top person you don't want to be in football right now after Super Bowl licks and what took place? I believe the Texas quarterback Super Bowl run's pretty impressive here as of late, just in terms of dudes born in the great state. Five of the last eight I saw from our buddy Matt Mosley. Five of the past eight Super Bowl winning quarterbacks played high school football in Texas.
Mahomes, Foles, Hurts.
And your guy. Your guy.
My guy.
Matthew Stafford.
Oh, of course, yeah. I forgot I had to claim him, Matthew Stafford.
You nailed it. Nice work.
I had to claim Stafford. Yeah, yeah.
Clean sweep.
But I guess, like, I was thinking Eagles, and it is true. Like, both of their quarterbacks, great state of Texas kids. Maybe we just need to make sure the Eagles are never able to get a Texas quarterback ever. Just keep a quarterback from the state of Texas away. They're not winning Super Bowls.
I like that as a rule. Mandate.
Sorry, NFL, put it down.
Yeah, you also had, speaking of Texas kids, we mentioned Xavier Worthy being the first Texas player, Longhorn, to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. He's also, he broke the record for most receiving yards by a rookie receiver in the Super Bowl last night with 157. Mm. I do think that'll go down in history as the most quiet, unforgettable, two-touchdown, 157-yard performance in a Super Bowl. It's like no one will even think about that. And if you just isolate that one play, that was a hell of a just YOLO, who cares anymore, Pat Mahomes, 65 air yards right on the money. It's like, wow, could that have been?
Could have had some bigger plays as well.
If they protected
a little bit better, yep.
Yeah, I saw from Shio Kapadia, the six sacks the Eagles had on Mahomes, the most by any defense against him in a single game during his career. Never been sacked like that. A true all-time performance there from the Eagles front four.
Yeah, there was really nothing that I think he could have done, Brian, just because of the amount of pressure that was coming at critical points in the game.
Yeah, he was bad in the pocket, though. I mean, because we're so used to see his ability to escape. And, yeah, they squeezed it on him, Dawson. You're right. But, I mean, to me, there was just times where I've never seen his eye level get affected as bad as it did in that game.
Well, I don't think I've ever seen a team get that overwhelmed that was supposed to be good.
Yeah. I know.
You know, it was
ridiculous.
Unbelievable. Philadelphia was just living back there. I think at some point you have to say snap, and then after 2 seconds, it's time to start looking at who's lost in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think part of it becomes mental there as well. You're like, I can't take my eyes off this. I have to scramble, get out in space, and then make something happen. And the first time he did that, he threw a pick.
Yeah, this goes for all teams, and it's sort of football 101, but it was just re-illustrated to us last night. We saw it with the Giants versus Brady. Like, if you're the Bills or the Ravens or the Bengals, one of these teams that's trying to unseat the Chiefs in the AFC, Like, everything should just be on getting your defensive line figured out. Having having six, seven dudes that you can just rotate and not have to blitz him. If you're Baltimore, if you're Buffalo, you're swinging for the fences right now on Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
Why aren't you? Like, every team, again, that's every team, and I'm thinking about the Cowboys here as well, but especially these teams that are right there on the cusp. What's the difference between us and them? It's can you get five, six dudes that you can rotate in and out of the game to just pressure him and make his life miserable? You saw it with Brady and the Giants. You're seeing it now.
You saw it with Brady and the Broncos. You know, Von Miller and D. Ware just converging on Brady.
Absolutely.
I think that's the only way to beat these goats.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that has to be that's the reinforcement across the sport right now. Like, you're never going wrong unless you just don't know how to evaluate for you know, at all. But getting O-line, D-line at every turn as much as you can. I couldn't believe the amount of different jersey numbers I saw for the Eagles in the front four last night. I was like, oh my gosh, it doesn't just have to be Carter or Nolan Smith. It doesn't even just have to be your first round picks. They got guys that you've never heard of before. Milton Williams, third round pick.
Yeah, and you know, the people behind them, the game is going to get a lot easier. You know, I remember the first or the second 49ers matchup, we talked a lot about their defensive linemen. Their secondary wasn't full of stars, but they got to play like it because of the level of pressure that was going to the quarterback. It makes everybody better.
Now, I had the most bet tickets last night for player props, the top four.
Oh.
Number four was Kelce over 60.5 receiving yards.
That was a bad one.
That's a miss.
Yeah. Horrible.
That was the fourth most bet ticket.
Washed up.
He was so late off the ball.
Needs to retire.
He had a terrible game.
It was awful.
Yeah.
I was shell shocked at just how bad him and Mahomes, but him in particular, goodness gracious, dude. The third most bet ticket was Dallas Goedert, Eagles tight end, over 48.5 receiving yards. That was also a miss. Mm. The second most bet ticket was Mahomes over 5.5 rushing attempts. Good old-fashioned miss.
Yeah, and he should have taken off and ran more. I was surprised he didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. He had one kind of nice scramble where he was avoiding. Yeah. I think he avoided all 11 players. There might have been a 12th or 13th defender there for the Eagles that he had to avoid. And then, of course, it was a holding call.
Right.
And we'll go ahead and back
you up. He got a first down, and I was like, okay, here it it back.
Yeah. And then the number one most bet ticket for last night's game, player prop style, Saquon Barkley over 111.5 rushing yards. Of course, that was a miss. So your top four most bet player props last night in the Super Bowl were house money. Congratulations to BetMGM.
Yeah, Vegas is winning.
I felt good about my Dick Fangio and the defense as the real MVP of the Eagles last night.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't need a whole lot of Barkley getting it done. No. You know, I also saw from Darren Revelle. Now, this is his personal top four people you don't want to be today. Okay? Number one.
Okay.
Is this unanimous? Can we say it all together? The number one guy you don't want to be today after last night's Super Bowl licks? Can we say it in unison? Everybody pick your guy, and we're going to say it on three. One, two, three.
Andy Mahomes.
Kelce.
Okay, we had two Andy Reids, we had a Kelce, and I went with Mahomes. I just stole it from Darren Revelle. That was his guy.
Well, after, was it Carter that violently pushed him to the ground? I bet he's the one that's, you know, feeling the most beat up.
He might be concussed.
Yeah, but I mean, how many conversations are taking place today? I'm seeing Stephen A. Smith. I'm seeing all these talking heads going viral for the GOAT debate is over and it'll never open up again. Like that door, the GOAT debate has been slammed, and it's Brady and then everybody else, including Mahomes, is fighting for second. Like, was it really that bad for his legacy? Is there no going back? Have we seen too much?
No.
Seeing Mahomes play his worst game ever on the biggest stage for Stephen A. Smith and others, it's too much. The door's been closed. It's Brady GOAT forever.
I think that's one of the worst takes that I've seen today. Like, Brady lost three Super Bowls. Okay, Mahomes has now lost two, right? He's won three. It's okay. Time will tell. And in the two that he lost, his offensive line was totally broken. So I think it goes to show you, and in the ones that Brady lost, right? His offensive line didn't play well, and he's running around like a chicken with his head cut off. So to me, there's a lot of similarities in how they look. Now, you could say, hey, Brady never lost a game as badly as Mahomes did. That's totally fair. But to just shut down the GOAT debate, I mean, would it surprise any of us if the Chiefs are right back there next year? No. And what is the reason? Because of Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, you know, I think he needs to play his way back into the GOAT conversation, but I think he'll do that. You know, I think these last 3 years have been you know, a supporting cast that no other quarterback could take to the Super Bowl.
And Brady never went to three in a row like that. Mahomes got the closest anybody's ever been to a three-peat. He got back to the game. Like, that is something as well.
It's so weird how the success takes the hunger out of you. You know, not only as the players and, you know, in the NBA, like winning three in a row, it's done. Just forget about it. Trade the team. These guys are spent. You know, managing the success is difficult psychologically, staying hungry. Maybe the front office, you know, is starting to feel that way as well. Certainly the fans up there were probably outnumbered 3 or 4 to 1 in New Orleans. You know, mm-hmm. there was a home field advantage yesterday for Philadelphia. So, you know, so I think you got to cleanse the palate. The front office has to look at this and get refocused and, you know, make commitments, make better picks, make, you know, better additions. But I don't think that they should be like leaning on Patrick Mahomes to be able to do whatever it takes to build, to beat a team significantly better than his again.
Now, it's not lost on me that both Broaddus and Dawson went with Andy Reid as the guy you'd least like to be today.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the head coach. I think you hold this loss bad.
This falls on you.
You had nothing. Your team was not ready to play offensively.
Absolutely.
You had no schematic adjustment until the Eagles took their starters out of the game. You couldn't score a touchdown.
Yep.
Number two person you would least like to be today after Super Bowl licks, according to Darren Revelle, Pat Riley.
Oh, the three-peat
deal. Slipping through the cracks.
A lot of Eagle players post-game, including Milton Williams, that were talking about that was motivation.
Yeah.
Get that bleep out of here.
Number three.
It affected them emotionally. And I think there's something to be said for what Nate Taylor of The Athletic told us, where, well, the Chiefs, it's business as usual. You know, they're very calm and they're very confident. But you can't let that, like, totally take away an emotional edge. It's still the Super Bowl, right? You can be that way Monday through Friday, but they showed up Sunday like that. I think it cost them.
Yeah, and it's funny because the reports were that, like, I guess Mahomes, Kelce, and Chris Jones all the night before in the team meeting Saturday night all sort of gave their own individual little pump-up speeches or whatever, and Travis Kelce was brought to tears. I wonder if he just was emotionally just drained from even that. And then he's looking up during the game and seeing that his girlfriend is being booed, unanimously booed throughout the entire stadium, and apparently that broke him up. A source close to Travis Kelce said that Taylor Swift being mercilessly booed during the game, quote, broke his heart. He had too much going on, man. He was dazed and confused out there. He was not himself. And I like the Kelce nominee from you there, Wolchuk, as the guy you'd least like to be today, because maybe that is it. Maybe that's the way that your career ends.
Maybe he doesn't want to
worst performance ever.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't want to put her through that anymore. You know?
Yeah, there maybe not.
He's so others oriented.
Did get a good text in from the 903 that Drake might be the one you least want to be.
Okay, I think that's a good point. But I also think that it was like. This certainly wasn't a unanimously loved halftime show.
I think that a lot of people that didn't love it, like, probably didn't get some of the Drake connection there.
Sure. I think that was lost on a lot of people.
It was pretty amazing, some of the stuff that Kendrick did.
All right, we'll get to Kendrick in a second. Pat Riley being the number two guy you'd least like to be today after Super Bowl licks. Number three, according to Darren Revelle, chief marketing officer of any of those brands with an $8 million ad in the fourth quarter. Thinking that you were like, hey, this is where we're going to be peak viewership. Because I will say, like, one of the biggest talking points, and I was certainly leading the charge on this, was like, I was so excited because I was like, I knew in my mind that this was going to be an in the balance game with, you know, 5 minutes to go. It was like, this is going to be a close game. The Chiefs aren't going to get blown out, and the Chiefs aren't explosive enough to do any blowing out. Like, they're winning games in the margins by, you know, one possession. That's their calling card. And I'm at church on Sunday talking with the guys, hyped up about the game. And I'm like, we just kept going back to, this is going to be a close. Oh, I'm sure. But I was like, man,
you're
this is going to be a close
Super
Bowl.
You talk about this?
Yeah, and okay. It was not. And all the companies that spent tons of money looking forward to that fourth quarter commercial that was just going to be peak viewership, they swung and missed.
I mean, how did they score 40-plus points with 220 yards passing? Saquon held to 54. It was just a bizarre game.
Pick six.
Yeah.
Helped.
Yeah, well, pick six. And then just a pick. I mean, the other pick that was like inside the 10-yard line was. Which just ended up being three points, A.J. Brown, touchdown in the blink of an eye. So, and then number four person you don't want to be today after the Super Bowl, Chiefs after party venue owner.
Oh, ooh, yeah.
That's a good one.
That's a good,
pull. Yeah, that's a very good one.
Dan Revell.
Only
man.
The depressed drinkers are here tonight.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah. Do you put still on some show Oasis. Up? I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, halftime show. What did we think? Where were we at on this? Broadus, I'm sure you spent 0 seconds consuming it.
Boy, you know me well, Eric.
Dawson, I know you had a second half headache. Maybe that started creeping up on you right when the first note started being played.
Huge Kendrick Lamar fan. Okay, so I loved it. I mean, he's not a glitz and glamour type of performer, so maybe the lack of a stage show kind of rubbed people the wrong way. But I thought, like, his backup steppers and then the dancing they were doing, I thought that was cool. I thought the Samuel Jackson the weaving of, you know, the statement that he was making on America's Biggest TV Show was cool. So overall, I liked it a lot more than most halftime shows, even though I'm not a fan of live music, you know.
The A minor chain.
That was fun.
Bringing Serena out.
Okay, did you guys catch that in real time that it was Serena?
Yeah.
Because I was...
But I had also seen stuff that she was already going to be part of it, like backstage. Okay. We saw her. I didn't know like in what fashion exactly, right. But I had that spoiled.
Yeah, I had no idea that she was going to be a part of it, but watching it, and it's only like maybe, 5 seconds of her actually on the screen dancing. And I said out loud, like, that was Serena Williams.
Yeah.
And all my brothers were like, no, that was definitely not Serena Williams. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, if it wasn't her, then it definitely looked like her. Because I knew about the Drake connection to Serena. So I was like, it would make sense if you either had her or somebody that just looked exactly like her. But then like 30 minutes later, my brother was on Twitter or whatever. And he was like, oh, we all owe you an apology. That was definitely Serena Williams. Now, my question is, how do you feel if you're Serena Williams' husband today? Because her being a part of that was a lot because she used to have dating history with Drake that got sour. And now all of a sudden, she is a part of this hate Drake sort of halftime show. Yeah. And now current husband clearly signed off on it, or she just didn't care whether he did or not. She and he's watching her sort of retaliate to an ex. If you're the current husband, I wonder, sitting at home with the kids or whatever, you're going... Okay, I guess.
Maybe
he's
heard some of the stories and he agrees, like, screw that guy.
Maybe he likes it. I think he's been called out by Drake as well.
Okay,
there you go. So, you know, maybe they're both sort of in on this. Maybe he was trying to get himself out there on stage as well, get a little dance going.
Okay, so I finished Landman. I really like how Billy Bob Thornton had this super, like, alpha approach to his ex-wife. Like, whatever, honey. You know, I'm doing my life.
I'm just
going
to deal with
this. I'm too busy for whatever kind of ex stuff you got going on or whatever sort of weird things you're doing. But I might take that as a dub if I'm Serena's husband, that she's out here dunking on Drake, you know, because it kind of confirms she's not going back. She's not thinking about him. You know,
I think it confirms that she is thinking about him. Now, maybe it's in a
but it's in a negative way.
In a negative way.
It's not in an amorous way. Like, you know, I'm wondering what she's thinking when her eyes are closed in the moment of passion. You know?
I do think a lot of people are just talking about the jeans aspect to Kendrick Lamar's his attire. That was the most jarring thing of it all. It wasn't 1,000 people coming out of a coupe to start the program. It was the pants that he was wearing. I couldn't get over it, dude. Maybe he's bringing something back here. Is this like skinny jeans with a boot cut at the bottom?
Maybe.
Those are bell bottoms from the 70s, which might have matched the car. But the other thought I had, because my lady was asking me about this, she's like, what's going on with these pants? I'm like, it might be like the new fashion in LA that just started like 2 months ago, and we don't know about it yet.
Maybe Kendrick's
you go out to
maker.
LA and the hipsters are always doing something the rest of the country is just not on yet. So that's what I was thinking, maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was themed because he's got it in a classic car.
Yeah, that's a good call when it comes to that, because I wasn't really sure where that came from, but that was certainly, I mean, there's some funny memes of him, you know, the way, you know, walking around and doing, was he doing a Squid Games deal too? There was like a Squid Games sort of homage with the way that they were doing some of the dancing or whatever. I don't know.
I didn't connect. I haven't seen the Squid Games yet.
My brother is a big Squid Games guy, so he just started saying Squid Games, Squid Games, Squid Games. I'm like, okay. And I think Bobby or somebody was mentioning it this morning. Like, all right.
This is weird, but the thing I noticed, I always thought Kendrick Lamar was skinny. Dude is strong.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a 300-pounder from the waist down.
Okay, he's not skipping
next
leg
thing
day.
You know, he's not starting for the Cowboys.
We know he does his push-ups.
Maybe that's how you have all that energy to perform on stage like that, because you got, you know, good leg muscles.
I was impressed with just how not out of breath he was.
Yeah.
It's like the speed
for a second
of everything.
I was like, is this real? Like, is he actually rapping? Is he lip syncing? Because I thought the same thing. I'm like, he is really not showing any sort of fatigue here.
Yeah. Hard to know if that was.
But he could just be that much of a badass.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the only other thing that I would say is a live band could have. I mean, I don't know how how far you're having to stretch yourself with actually having real instrumentals, you know, instead of just playing tracks.
Yeah.
But a live band, I think, could have taken that thing to another level.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chief. In addition to the finest is in the books. When we come back, G-Bag Nation, it's time to hit the expressway. We have maybe some broadest film takeaways. Did Pat play so bad now he's got to play himself back into GOAT consideration? The Micah Parsons story, what we expect from Luka tonight, the latest on Anthony Davis and PJ Washington and more, and we're coming back here with you on 10.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
5-3 The Fan. Welcome back. It is the G-Back Nation here on The Fan. Hit the expressway every night. LA Live with Lucius Alexander is coming up here in about 15 minutes. The expressway is brought to you by The On-Time Experts. So salute to The On-Time Experts for sponsoring The Expressway. And the segment's presented by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. Have some Patrick Dumont, Mavs governor audio here for you in a second. Have some Tim McMahon audio as well. There's reporter drama here across the Mavs media horde. But amongst the news, Kyrie Irving is an all-star. So congrats to him. He's a replacement for Anthony Davis.
Oh, what?
Wow, oh, man. See, that's the type of teammate Anthony Davis is. Man. See, and that's not something that a lot of people considered when this trade was made.
Selflessness.
Nico knew this. Nico knew this about his guy. That's selflessness at the highest level.
And I appreciate your guys' sense of humor about this story because I'm just stunned at how crazy things could be to have that start a historic half of basketball from Anthony Davis.
It was just
only
perfect
to go back out with injury. You hope this organization isn't snake bitten. You hope they haven't brought in some sort of a Luka curse upon themselves.
The curse of Luka, like the curse of Bambino.
Yeah. That's probably just what Anthony Davis does is get hurt.
Well, Kyrie needs to get out there with the sage then. Go around the court.
Yeah,
we
sage
need that sage. We do. We're also waiting for word on PJ Washington. He sprained his ankle in the game. It was very impressive that after giving up the 17-point lead, cut down the two, Washington and Davis are back on the training table, and you figure out a way to rally and finish off the Houston Rockets somewhat convincingly. But, I mean, the big thing right now is Anthony Davis's groin, the adductor injury. Could it require surgery? Did the Mavs training staff, you know, green light him when maybe you should have been waiting as he's recovering from an abdominal core type of injury? I certainly hope that's not the case, but
yeah,
this Mavs training staff is not on a good run right now, Brian.
No, they're not. And, you know, that's something that they're probably going to have to look at and evaluate. And like when you're starting to bring players back, you know, when you ramp them up and get them ready for games, are you doing the absolute very best to make sure that they don't go out there and re-injure themselves again? So that's something that I think they're absolutely looking at to, you know, is are we having these problems? Is it something that we can correct? Is it something we need to be doing differently? But that's something that I know that they're thinking about.
Okay, let's get in some audio here. Mavericks Governor Patrick Dumont. Couple of cuts here. One of them really inflamed Mavs fans, but let's start with the one I think most of you will like to hear, although there are probably a few of you out there that wouldn't mind it. How about the idea of leaving for Las Vegas? Here's Dumont.
No.
The Dallas Mavericks are not moving to Las Vegas. There is no question in that. That is the answer unequivocally. The Dallas Mavericks are the Dallas Mavericks, and they will be in Dallas. We bought the Dallas Mavericks. We're keeping them in Dallas. We're committed to Dallas. We're committed to our fans as the Dallas Mavericks, and that's where the team will stay. This is not in question. I'm not sure where this is coming from. I appreciate people asking it. Our family happens to live in Las Vegas, but we have investments all over the world, and the Dallas Mavericks is the team we bought. We had options to buy other teams in the past, but Dallas was the city that we wanted to be in, and that's where it's going to be. And look, we're going to invest in the future. We're going to invest in a new home for the Dallas Mavericks. We're investing in the community. We do charitable things in the community right now. We believe in the city of Dallas long term, and we believe in Dallas long term.
All right. You know, you love to hear that. You know, I'd even heard that they're divesting themselves of some of their properties in Las Vegas, like they're kind of moving out of Las Vegas. I did hear when the NBA expands next, the expansion fee is going to be in the multiple billions of dollars. Mm. So by adding a team to Las Vegas, all of the owners get to share that basically buy off to get them to give a thumbs up. I think it's $5 billion.
Wow.
So you're looking at a very substantial amount of money, maybe a couple hundred mil for each team, $125 million or something like that for each team. And moving the Mavs to Las Vegas would ultimately end up costing the team money or the entire league money.
I just wonder, and here's a family that's made its money through casinos and things like that, billions of dollars. And, you know, the plan was initially to build a casino with an arena. And I wonder if those plans have changed or did they just need more time to see, you know, and if in fact, though, that gambling does not get approved in the state of Texas, I wonder if Patrick Dumont is going to be changing his tune.
It was over the weekend, or maybe it was Friday or Thursday, that Governor Greg Abbott, I know we were in New Orleans, but he said, I support, you know, sports wagering here, at least. So hopefully
then that will work out because that would be reason for them to stay. You just wonder if these folks are into building properties and casinos and things, and if they're going, maybe they see Las Vegas drying up.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they see Las Vegas no longer being the glamorous place that it was, that properties are closing there and tourism is not showing up there. And maybe they're thinking, well, heck, we can, you know, let's go to a different market. Let's find a different group. And if, but if they don't get it done here, you just wonder. That's the only thing to me, that's the only reason why they would move if they, in fact, that they don't feel like that they're getting a benefit here.
Yeah, it makes sense for them. Like, if they didn't, it just doesn't make sense for
they're
the NBA
business people.
To me. Yeah,
they're,
I mean,
business
like,
people.
Like, I don't think the NBA would want to take a team out of the fourth largest media market in America.
Well, like I said, though, but we've had owners move teams before without whatever the league cares what you, you know. You know what I'm saying?
I think you have to get approval from the league to do it.
Did Al Davis?
Yeah, but it's a different, it's one, it's a long time ago,
did
and it's a
Jim
totally
Irsay?
Different sport. I would assume the NFL did.
They every time they fight these teams on moving, the NFL loses or the, you know, they lose. You think, I wonder if the Seattle Supersonics.
Yeah, like I can't remember, like the Supersonics when they moved to OKC, was that a league approved thing or did the ownership just say, screw it, we're done in Seattle and
think,
we want to go to
I think
Oklahoma.
Some of these, I think some of these owners are like, listen, this is my team and I can damn do what I want to please with it, you know. So I like I say, I don't think anything's stopping somebody from picking up their franchises and moving. I just don't.
Yeah.
Like the league could act like that they're mad at you and all that.
Well, they approve of the owners, right? I mean, like
sure.
you have to get ownership approval to even get the team
but
in general.
But once you get the team, that's your team.
The good news is, at least for the time being, they have no plans of doing that.
Hopefully
that doesn't
variables change. Unless you want the Mavs to leave and get a new team because you're so mad at them for trading Luka. I could definitely see some of that feedback coming in.
The quick Google AI just says the NBA does not have to approve a team moving cities, but the league's board of governors does have a say in whether to expand. So if you're going to add an expansion team, that has to be approved. But if you want to move your team from one city to another one,
they don't have to approve.
I don't think they have to approve. Mm.
I just think it'd be bad business to move from a spot where you have the loyal fan base and tremendous amount of history and try to go put down roots. Sometimes it just doesn't take and you're in a much less of a TV market.
Could be a negative, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, okay, how about
but they're also billionaires and they don't give a damn about your fans.
I know that. I know that. How about on Luka as a fit with the Mavs? Here's Governor Dumont.
So in my mind, the way teams win is by focus, by having the right character, by having the right culture, and having the right dedication to work as hard as possible to create a championship-winning outcome. And if you're not doing that, you're going to lose. And if you look at the greats in the league, the people you and I grew up with, Jordan, Bird, Magic, Kobe, Shaq, they worked really hard every day with a singular focus to win. And if you don't have that, then it doesn't work. And if you don't have that, you shouldn't be part of the Dallas Mavericks. That's who we want. I'm unwavering on this. The entire organization knows this. This is how I operate outside of basketball. This is the only way to be competitive and win. If you want to take a vacation, don't do it with us.
You know, that last line right there, if you want to take a vacation, don't do it with us, it made me wonder, like, did Luka just say, I'm not, you know,
his working? His actions got him traded. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Let's look at this. It's not to me, it could be, you could say maybe it's personal that his actions got him traded. And that's just the bottom line.
No, I agree with that. It just, how many other teams would have traded Luka in this situation? I think the answer to that would be zero.
Yeah.
Nobody else in the history of the league would have traded Luka for his actions.
Yeah. But like I said, that when you want to know the bottom line, he told you what the bottom line was.
Yes. Yes. This is our reasoning
for
it.
To them, he did.
Yeah. And I like that you're going to make that much of a commitment to hard work. But I mean, you said Shaq, he didn't really win on hard work. It pissed Kobe off to no end.
A guy who has no clue how hard it is to get a player of that caliber in the damn first place, right?
Yeah.
Like, was he okay with going to the NBA Finals last year?
How'd you do
that? Standing on the podium and getting that Western Conference Championship trophy and then making himself kind of sound like somebody who had never been there before because he's never been there before. How did you accomplish that? Because of Luka. So clearly it works. Clearly it wins. You chose that you didn't want to put up with all the crap that comes along with Luka.
Sure.
And that's okay.
Yes.
But then don't, I mean, be honest. Be honest and then tell all the things.
This
is what we didn't want to deal
with.
He did.
Yeah. He told you.
He used a blanket statement and then said a bunch of other guys that he thinks work harder and are dedicated to winning.
But in a way, he did tell you because Luka doesn't fit in the way that they want to operate.
Well, the way that they operate, getting rid of one of the best players, not the best player in the world.
But he made up the part that this is how you win.
No, no.
You have to have this character and this commitment.
What he
should have said is he annoyed us so bad.
We've had so many discussions about Luka and his conditioning on this program.
We have.
And now we're acting.
We've never advocated for trading him because he made it to the finals in 2 years before the conference finals. It's BS. You win with talent, Brian. You know that as a scout.
Absolutely. But I'm just saying, though, that he gave you their reasons why they moved on from him.
I know, I'm disagreeing with them right now.
Okay, well, that's fine, but don't... He's over there talking about, well, you know, be honest about it. He is being honest about it.
I don't think so either. Give us all the reasons of what Luka did that make you think that he is not that type of player that fits into that.
Dawson sits there and talks about this all the time. If you're not in condition, you know, he even talks about your health and your injuries and what you have to do to stay healthy and all that. He goes into great detail about that and talking about Luka. Every single time. And that's the thing about it is they got tired of his lack of conditioning. They got tired of dealing with his medical staff. And when the Maverick trainers, and whether they're right or wrong, said, hey, he could have been healthy 3 weeks ago. If he's healthy 3 weeks ago, you might not even make
the
this
Maverick
trade.
The Maverick trainers that now we're talking about, we don't know, are they any good? Are they keeping guys healthy? Are they putting guys back on the floor before they're ready?
But that's who their trainers are. That's who they trust.
You know, it is undeniable is that Luka dragged a team that had no business being in a conference final and then went to an NBA final 2 out of the last 3 years. So if that's a guy that you can't win with, I don't know who you're going to win with.
I think the biggest thing, the glaring omission, you're rattling off a bunch of names and you're not going to put Dirk Nowitzki. You didn't have to say any of those names. All you had to say was Dirk.
Well, guys he grew up with.
But you're the Mavs owner.
No, you're the Mavs owner.
It's just an unaware statement.
You have the silhouette on the hardwood, dude. All you have to do is say Dirk.
They're business people. They're not basketball owner. I mean, they're not people that probably follow the game. I mean,
that's obvious. He should just observe for about 2 more years before he starts
they're
talking.
Billionaires.
Again.
He's put in a situation of running a basketball team, and they put all the faith in Nico, who we've on our program have like given him credit for some of the things he's done.
Yeah.
I mean, Nico had to convince them to make this trade.
But
in my opinion,
to Wolchuk's original point that set us off, the truth would have been we understand Luka is a great and he's taken us to the finals and he might win us a championship, but we're so, as type A business owners and managers, we're so offended by his personality that we're going to trade away the better player in this trade because we don't like how it impacts our culture.
They told you what they think of him.
They did.
And that's to me.
But the lie is in trying to pretend like Luke is not a winner in spite of his shortcomings.
I don't think they ever said that he wasn't a winner.
They just did.
They said that,
you want to read between the leaves here. I'm telling you to do the same. They said he's not a winner. We can't win a championship like this.
They worked really hard every day with a singular focus to win. And if you don't have that, it doesn't work. Well, they won. So maybe Luka didn't do everything that they wanted him to do. But why is Luka not probably going to listen to you? Because he knows I can show up. I can play more minutes than anybody in the NBA did last year. My entire career, my usage rate has been unbelievably high, which is competing with some of the greats in the historical about. Like, that's what we've talked about.
Sure.
Like, as much as we want to, and I understand it, it's fair. Like, it's fair to, Luka is probably a total pain to deal with.
Yeah.
And we did all talk about, like, dude, can you, what would it be like if you did actually put in
Dawson
work day
Dawson will tell
in
you
day
that
out.
If he doesn't change his ways, his career's not going to be long. Am I right about that?
It'd be short.
And hey,
if that pans out, then
kudos to them for seeing that.
But right now, they've
traded for a guy that isn't even available to play tonight.
Sure.
Okay, Kevin Durant says, no biggie about the trade rumors. It's just part of the business. We've all got to understand that. Micah Parsons, a trade, you know, whispers over the weekend or something. I think it's dumb. I don't think there's any way they do that. Tiger Woods not going to play in the Genesis Invitational, which is his event. He's still processing and mourning the death of his mother. That one's unfortunate. The Cowboys are hiring a couple of position coaches. Ken Dorsey as an analyst.
Okay. Yeah, as an analyst, really. It's not even like the quarterback coach, but like more of a just a, you know, a guy that's an offensive analyst is what he's called.
And then a wide receiver coach coming in here from Oregon, Junior Adams. He'd also worked at Washington, has, you know, helped prepare a number of the nation's best wide receivers here to take the next step, and he's up as well. It's time now to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander
is L.A. Locke. Like a jungle sometimes make me wonder how I keep from going under. Let's get into it.
All right, you squares, it's time to smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toe. Yeah. It'll make you dance to some of everything. Everybody get high.
This is LA Live for Monday, February 10th, 2025. It is a Monday Friday vibes here in LA Live. Word to PPT for naming today. Fellas, is the city of Philadelphia still standing as we speak right now? Do we know this?
I don't know for sure.
I checked.
Yeah, please check, because what I've seen, I don't know. I'm not fully sure. Maybe they got a little nap and got right back active, because it seemed like they're the type of city to get active. You know what I mean? The mayor of Philly tried to give a warning to all of Philadelphia. Her name is Cheryl Parker. She said, please.
The speller?
She was begging and pleading. The who?
The speller?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But remember, they didn't know because they all can't spell down there.
Right.
So they had no idea that she spelled it wrong until we pointed it out.
Yeah.
Let's listen to her real quick. She.
Don't climb light poles or anything else. Please, Philadelphia, I implore you as your mayor, do not climb light poles. Or anything else.
Or anything else. Got to make sure you say that, because in the people of Philadelphia be like, well, she said no light poles.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
She said no light poles.
It increased the skyscrapers.
I'm going up the telephone pole, buddy.
Look at me.
I know this comes up every time we have an outdoor celebration.
Jeez.
After our Philly teams win, and I get it. But folks, climbing or attempting to climb up a light pole or a bus shelter, or really any structure for that.
Yeah, anything at this point. Yeah. Because they knocked down the light poles. They did not climb up the light poles, but they definitely knocked them down. And streetlights. They knocked those down out there.
Carrying them down Broadway.
They were carrying them all the way down Broadway. Crowd surfing with street poles and streetlights. They were stomping out streetlights when they got them on the ground. I don't know why.
All while eating doo-doo.
Jeez, bro.
Incredible multitaskers.
They were standing on top of bus stops and garbage trucks. They took over the garbage truck. Somehow they emptied out, I don't know what kind of truck that was, but it had like linens and pillows and stuff in it.
Oh,
and they had a whole linen and pillow fight out there. They looted a truck and started fighting with the containers.
Matter, it can lead to tragedy. We do not want anything to happen to any of you, your friends, or your family members. So for your mayor, please just don't climb onto anything.
Begging.
Okay? That's our golden rule. We want Sunday to be a joyous.
By the way, you caught that? That's the golden rule in Philadelphia.
Golden rule, yeah.
Please don't climb on anything when we win. It's the golden rule here. We all know it. let's abide by it.
Respect
please.
Your neighbor if you want to, but dear God, please don't climb it.
Please.
That's our golden rule. We want Sunday to be a joyous moment for Philadelphia. We all love our Philadelphia Eagles, and we all want to show our civic pride. But let's vow together to do so in a safe, respectful, and a responsible way.
Nah, I turned into Lord of the Flies out there, lady.
Yeah.
Fires. They're taking down all kinds of stuff over here.
They tore that place apart. There's fires in the middle of the street. Eric said it earlier. They were burning Kermit the Frog dolls.
Jeez.
I get it.
I mean, how do you take down a light pole off the road?
They're just carrying it.
Yo.
Like a trophy. Those things are bolted into the ground.
Yeah,
bolted,
I don't
yeah.
get it, man. What else was down there? They were fighting with Philly police. You can see like the smoke from all of the stuff, the tear gas and everything behind them. It looked like a movie. Lord of the Flies in Philly, fam.
Groups of drunk bleep holes were doing tush push stuff together. Did you see some of those?
Yeah.
Tush pushing each other.
Tush pushing for no reason, bro. There was a dude cooking a Philly steak sandwich out there just in the middle of the streets.
They're riding horses.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of people horseback, dude.
Yeah, there was horseback riding out there just in the middle of nowhere. Well, on Broad Street and everything, but there was a lady with some tights on. She had Uggs.
Uggs and tights, which is already, like, you know, back
questionable.
Up. Yeah, it's already questionable, bro. Back up. Her shirt was off. It was just her bra. She had a pantyhose over her head. Okay. But she had a little bald head, and she was just out there fighting people, bro, swinging.
I just saw that video.
Just swinging, bro.
She's, like, dragging a dude just down. Like, he wants nothing swinging. To do with her. She's like, come on.
Turn the Lord of the Flies out there in Philly, man. But they had a good time. I don't know what's in the air, but the allergies are going crazy with me right now. Before I left the house, I was just, you know, rubbing your nose and just tearing you up. Yep. I took like about 9 little allergy med pills.
Yeah. Benadryl. That's the number. That's the sweet
spot.
Had me
zooming all day. Not the kind of zooming I like, too.
Yeah.
You know, still, I don't like that. Yeah. I'm just letting you know.
Kind of feel like slowing down.
Yeah.
Like groggy.
You got a dart.
Yeah, all of that, man. Feel crazy. Feel crazy, in fact. Yeah, shout out to Philly, man. Y'all did crazy stuff. G-Back of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P, Lucius Alexander on Facebook. You can follow us all and find G-Back Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here, we go to Way FM, a Christian radio station in Nashville, where a Cowboys fan had the wrong number and called up and just gave him some smoke. He asked for smoke for Will McClay.
Yeah, I'm on the radio?
No, I'm recording you, but it's not live on the radio.
Okay. I just want to make a comment about, you know, all of this stuff y'all promoting about Ashton Jenny, I don't want to hear that no more.
Sure. Hey, I really appreciate your passion. I think you have the wrong number.
No, hold on, sweetheart. Right. Let me correct you because you sound like Will McClay.
I
had to correct Will McClay. This is not passion. This is testosterone.
I don't think you called the right phone number is what I was trying to say.
Okay, all right. So whatever phone, they'll call in the fan, I can talk to, or whatever. See, that's the problem. It's too much passion in that.
No.
Y'all need testosterone on that field.
This is you called a Christian music radio station in Nashville, Tennessee. I think you have the wrong number.
You know, Christian Nashville, oh, my God. Okay, thank you.
Oh, my
Sorry.
God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you're right, man.
Christian National.
You're right. Oh, my God is 100% correct, buddy. Yeah, LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Monday, Friday. We seen Kendrick yesterday started out his Super Bowl performance with an unreleased snippet. So that means if you had the first song, you're pretty sure you got washed. You got washed out. That's house money, right?
Yeah.
How does that work? Because they didn't even have that listed there.
They didn't have this unknown song.
They did not expect this one to hit up. Yeah. I had Squabble Up, which was the second song that they dropped.
You should win for that, Ben.
You should, right?
I think you should.
Because you didn't have that on there.
Yeah.
But that's the first song that was blessed. No bet.
Yeah, no bet. Get your money back.
Money back.
I bet if you emailed customer service, they'd get you.
Yeah, man.
I hit this. Come on.
There was no recovering or no customer service line that could help me with my bet, Lucius. Chiefs on the money line.
Yeah. Hold on. Speaking of Chiefs, before I get to Kendrick, you seen John Hamm, actor John Hamm, introduce the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Did you guys see that? This is the madman guy?
Yeah. Him and Bradley Cooper get in the mix because Cooper did it for the Eagles.
Cooper put his nuts on the table.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, holding a kid.
It's impressive.
Yeah, John Hamm was like,
Chiefs Kingdom! Make some noise for your AFC champion and 2-time defending Super Bowl champion.
Should have known.
Lost right himself. Then
and
there.
And he was gone at halftime.
Isn't that Morgan from Landman?
Yes. That is, yeah.
Threw me off a little bit.
Yes.
Yep. Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs!
Ooh.
Yeah, that was a bad omen right there.
Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs.
Sounded worse than Bassick doing the ooh-wee Friday.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, Kendrick came out there, man. It was a beautiful situation. Standing on top of the Grand National, a sexy Grand National, same one from the music video and album cover. Everyone put some money on the first song. They got washed. He had his two of Drake's ex-girlfriends out there.
Yeah.
That's crazy. With SZA and Serena.
Oh, I didn't know that SZA.
Yeah, SZA and Serena. Then, of course, you've seen Serena doing the crip walk.
Yeah.
Which is okay, a shot at Drake, because I'm out there dancing basically on your grave, your peripheral. Yeah. What's the word I'm trying to say?
Proverbial.
Proverbial.
That's a tough word, though. I don't know how to spell that.
I told you, I took nine of them things, bro. Yeah. I am. My tongue is stuck. It's dry as hell. Bro, I am
you start
washed.
Start talking like Meryl Reese here
yeah,
in a second.
I am washed out here. But, yeah, and she was also dancing on the critics who had something to say about her doing the at the Wimbledon.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't like me doing that at Wimbledon. Now I'm doing it at the Super Bowl type vibes. Here's how it started. Samuel L. Jackson dressed as Uncle Sam introduced Kendrick.
Salutations! It's your Uncle Sam. And this is the Great American Game.
My Gemini twin back powering up. No more handshakes and hugs. The energy only circulate through us. Everybody must be judged. But this time, God only favoring us.
Yeah, that was actor Sam L. Jackson dressed as Uncle Sam. There's a whole lot of, there's a breakdown going around on the internet right now with the meanings and the metaphors and the symbolisms of this Kendrick performance. Chef's kiss. Yeah. It's deep as hell.
Saw a couple of minutes of it a couple breaks ago.
Yeah.
I got to dig into it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Let's see. Oh, and he teased the song that we were all waiting for, Not Like Us.
Oh, yeah.
But when he teased it, he took a shot at Drake at the same damn time. So it's like, why are you still shooting at that man's body? It's just jumping on the ground at this point. Stop.
Just
you're hopping. You're wasting all your bullets. It's just popping up and down, bro.
Hey, yes, Doc. I want to make a move. For sure. I want to perform their favorite song, but you know they love the suit.
What's up? Ooh.
Yeah, that song.
Yeah, that song.
But you know they love the suit. It's pretty good stuff, man. I think it was a great performance all the way around. I think it had a great start, kind of lulled in a minute in the middle there, because if you're not familiar with all the Kendrick songs, you're like, what is this? Mm-hmm. And then when SZA came up, it just popped, and it stayed up for the rest of the night, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But that's just my opinion. Let's see. Oh, and the moment we all waited for when he said, Not Like Us, and everybody was... Shoot, bro.
A minor.
I am floating out here right now, bro. See, here's the thing. Allergy medicine is not supposed to get you buzzed up.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just wanted a lot because it was itching too much.
Yeah.
But apparently the CVS brand of the allergy medications, if you have too many, it's going to hit you, dog. The little yellow pills.
Oh, the yellow ones.
The little yellows.
Okay.
Nine of them things.
I had nine of them.
Quaaludes?
First, I had six. I said, it's not working, so I went back and got nine. And then I came out the bathroom and looked at my girl. I was like, hey, man, I'm not feeling it right now.
I've had the same experience with hash brownies before. No, I definitely need more. Oh! See y'all next week.
I'm not feeling it. She's mad at me, so she was just like, oh, okay. I was like, well, it's raining. I might die. Like, driving to work.
So you took the upper ones, not like the Benadryl ones that might put you to sleep.
Not
you took
the
ones that kind of clear out your nasals.
Yeah. But they get you grooving,
yes,
man.
They
you're
do.
Like grinding your teeth a little bit and
yes.
stuff.
Yeah. Mm. I know that feeling. I'm super sensitive to those, so I can only take like half a dose. Right? I used to get all queasy and shaky and whatnot.
Yeah. That's what I am right now.
I'm sorry.
As we speak, man.
Yeah.
All day. I've been washed. Washed.
Brain gators.
You caught me, dude. Won't happen again, I'll tell you what. I've just been here rubbing my nose next time. Tomorrow, I'll tell you. I'm just going to rub it. Let's listen to Kendrick, though.
It's a cultural divide. I'm going to get it on the floor.
You really about to do it?
40 acres in the mule. This is bigger than the music.
You really about to do it?
Yeah, they tried to rig the game, but you can't fake influence.
Think it on it like that.
Hey, I'm tripping, I'm sliding, hey, I'm riding hey, to the back. Hey. Bump. Mustard on a beat, bro, beat, bro. Any rap, he a freak, dope. Man down, call like Ember Lambs, tell him breathe. Now them boys to the cross, they walk around like T's. What's up with these Draconio, trying to see Compton. In the street can hate me, bump them all in their mama. How many ops you really got? I mean, it's too many options. Been a crash on his body, I'm John Stockton. What? And hide the Bible if God watching. Sometimes you gotta pop out and show. Certified boogeyman, I'm the one that up the score. Walk him down the whole time, I know he got some hoe. And start bully the fro. Say Drake, I hear you like him.
Say Drake.
He looks straight at the camera.
Say Drake. That meme is gonna live forever. That little wicked smile that he gave on his face. Say Drake. Say Drake.
With them damn pants on, I'll tell you what.
I know goofy ass pants.
Yeah,
he's like doing his eyebrow raise.
Yeah, he's like 5'3".
Yeah.
You bet I ever go to cell block one.
to any that talk to him and they in love. Just make sure you hide your little sister from him. They tell me Chubb's the only one to get your hammy downs. Party at the party playing with his nose now. Baka got a weird case, why is he around? Certified lover boy, certified.
You see that? Fox came through and blurred all of that out. They put that on there for us. I'm pretty sure in the background in the stadium they said, pedophile. I'm pretty sure.
I'm on them tough. I'ma do my stuff. Why you trolling like a, ain't you tired? You trying to strike a chord and it's probably A minor.
They not like us.
No.
Was Drake hate watching that, or do you just out of sight, out of mind, act like the Super Bowl didn't even exist this year?
He should, but I've seen a lot of clips, and I don't know if they're like new or old or whatever, but it's like Drake up there just having a moment. You know when you have your exes and they treat you wrong? This song is for you, because I know you've had an ex that hurt you too. Come on, stand up, this is for you.
I was like, oh, man.
He's he was doing a show.
Yeah, he was getting words. Yeah. All right, I'll be black tomorrow, hopefully. God, please protect me. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. That's my time. My name is L.A. Lucius Alexander. I holler.
L.A. Live every night about 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Okay, time now for Zach Wolchuk's Chuck Wagon Buddy. Where are you taking us?
All right, can we trust this NFL stat after this list? Kelly Stafford sends a message to the Rams. How much pressure are the Mavs under? That's next.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.